Quite a love story, isn't it? Thankful that it involves every one of us. Need the Lord's blessing tonight, and I ask for your prayers, the Lord to bless His Word. I'd like to begin in the 21st chapter of the book of Luke. Written on the board, the word escape. Luke chapter 21. The 34th verse says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." I want to be accounted worthy to stand and to escape the judgment that is coming on this world. And I believe that it's the Lord's interest and desire for every one of us that we may be able to be accounted worthy to stand in that day. I have no doubt and no question in my mind, and I hope none of us here tonight do, but that we're in perilous times. We're in dangerous days, and the enemy is looking to be able to ensnare any one of us that he can. So watch. Take heed unto yourselves, unto every one of us, lest we find ourselves in a place that day come upon us unawares. How is it that we'll be accounted worthy to stand in that day, worthy to escape the things that are coming to pass upon this earth? It's not going to be by me saying, "But Lord, I've been around the saints for so many years. But Lord, I've been to Monarch so many times. Lord, I knew Church of God doctrine. Lord, I understood." It's not going to be but by one reason and one cause. You remember whenever the children of Israel were in Egypt and the Lord had visited them a number of times through the plagues, and this time now He came and revealed Himself and said, "This time, I want you to go and warn the people that this time at a certain hour of the night, the death angel will pass through the land to every household and every home or household where there's not a sign on the door. There's not blood of the Lamb that's applied onto the doorpost. There's no escaping. There's no getting around the judgment that is to come, but by one way, by one reason, by one cause, by one remedy, and that was the blood of the Lamb. That's your escape. It's your means if you'll believe and have faith to believe this thing is coming to pass. The words that He's spoken, how could you really not believe it? After all the signs and the wonders and the plagues that had already come to pass in the land, that had already, the words that He had spoken had already come to pass. You know, today we have a very sure word of prophecy. We have something that's more sure than just the words of man. That which is coming of judgment upon our world. But I'm thankful that there is a God that's interested in providing a way of escape. There is a God that is interested in warning those of us that are of a heart to hear and to receive the warning. The death angel's coming. Judgment is coming, but today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity to escape the judgment that is to come. "That ye may be accounted worthy." I want to be accounted worthy. "By the blood of the Lamb that's applied to the doorpost of my heart." If you look throughout this chapter, it seems, and I won't claim to fully understand all of this, but it seems to interweave together the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem with the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus had warned in His time of ministry that judgment's coming on the house of Israel. He said to the Son of Man, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But unto as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." He came unto His own. He came and they didn't receive Him. And He wept over it. It was within His heart to weep over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets. How often was it within my heart looking upon you and your children and knowing your hearts better than you know yourselves. How often I wanted to be able to just gather you, to be able to do it myself. I wanted to, but you weren't willing to. You weren't willing to accept it. And so he prophesied, and history bears out that it came to pass exactly as he prophesied, that not one stone would be left standing upon another whenever the destruction of Jerusalem came, just as Jesus had spoken it. And so some of the warning throughout here, the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, talks about here in the 20th verse, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Whenever you see the signs begin to come to pass, whenever you look out and you see the armies that are compassing the city round about, it's your time to get out. It's time to run. It's not time to just be at your leisure. It's not time to think there's nothing to it. Whenever you begin to see the things come to pass, run for your life, he said. Don't look back. Don't even go back in your house. But run for your life. Escape the destruction that is to come. You know, the scripture says the word was preached unto us as well as unto them. But it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. You know, it's a starting point for every one of us. The starting point, no man can come to God. No man is able to please God without faith. Isaiah, believe the 58th chapter, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been extended? Who will believe the report of the things that are to come to pass? The saints did. Whenever Jesus had given the warnings, history bears out that there wasn't a saint left in the city. The Christians had already gone. They had escaped. They had taken their opportunity of warning and of escape. The year, I believe it was 1980. I wasn't around. Maybe some of you remember the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Whenever the top of the mountain blew and the devastation that it caused, it wasn't completely without warning. It didn't completely catch everybody by surprise. There were those geologists and all that are able to monitor seismic activity and said, something's happening here. There's something that's going on. There's a trembling here. I want you to know that there's something that could happen at any time. We don't know when. But as it began to increase, the seismic activity began to increase in frequency and in strength, they gave the evacuation orders. Now we're sure enough about it that something's going to happen here. You don't want to stay around now. We can't tell you when it's going to be, but there's something going on. Do you know today many people realize something's going on? Many people realize and even ask, what's happening in our world today? Folks, I want to tell you, it's the time to run. It's the time to escape. Today is the day of salvation. But you know, the evacuation orders weren't followed by everyone. There was a man, Harry Randall Truman. He had lived there for years. He had never seen the top of the mountain blown off. And as he heard the warnings going forth and he heard the dire predictions of what could happen to Mount St. Helens, they came to him, and as they distributed the word, warning people, you've got to get out of your homes, he said, I won't.
That's right.
I'm not going to leave. I've been here all this time. I'm a mile away from the mountain. I don't have anything to worry about. They tried to convince them. They tried to coax them. They came out, the media, some of them trying to interview him. And he said, well, I don't know if it'll blow or whether it won't. But I don't believe it to the point of packing up. The activity increased and it kept growing. The tremors got to the point that it did get his attention. But his response was to move his mattress down into the basement. It, as I understood, it knocked his bed over or his mattress, so he moved it down into the basement. The warning signs were given. The evidence was around that something's about to come to pass. He had his opportunity. He had his window of salvation, if you will. The window of opportunity. When he had been warned. When the warning had gone out time and time again. Yet he responded to it. Not in faith. Not in belief in the warning that was given. But in complacency. You know, it's the response that's most common today. Is complacency. And it is a danger for every one of us. You know, 2 Peter, I believe, the 3rd chapter tells of it. In the last days it'll happen. In the last times there will be those that say, oh, come on. In my own words, come on. We've never seen it happen before. Yes, maybe there are some things going on. Maybe I realize there's some tremors that I'm feeling. But I'm okay. It's not going to affect me. Maybe it's affecting everyone else out there. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Folks, this isn't the day for indifference. This is not the time for indecision. Today is the day of escape. Whenever the volcano blew, the man that felt so sure of his security was buried beneath a 150-foot lava flow. In a moment. No time then to run. The time to escape was over. The window of opportunity to escape was gone. It was too late. 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. We read of some others that responded in a similar manner to a warning. And Lot went out, in Genesis 19 and 14. And he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Yeah. It didn't have any effect. The message went out, the warning went forth, and yet it didn't profit some. Because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. There wasn't a faith to believe unto the saving of their household. What's your problem? Come on. They mocked at it. They laughed at it. They were indifferent to it that evening. You read throughout this story in the account here and don't want to read through the whole account. But the angels that came and began to search out the city, the condition of it, the sinfulness of the city, they saw the condition of it and they told Lot, it's time to go. 12th verse, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides sons-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. You think the wickedness of our nation has gotten God's attention? Yeah. Do you believe the Lord has somehow not even taken notice of the condition and the decisions that our world has made? Do you believe the cry of it has reached heaven? Said that he sent the angels to come search it out. And so Lot then, as we read, went and sounded the warning. You know, the warning is still going out today. As simple and as foolish as it is through the foolishness of preaching, the warning still goes out. The warning, maybe it's the same old message time after time after time, but yet it's still going out. There's still time. There's still something to escape and to flee. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. You notice here there was some hesitation. There was a little bit of reluctance to make the decision. There was a little bit of hesitancy. There's still something drawing me back. There's still something pulling me back. I've got children here. I've got loved ones back here. It's my home. It's so familiar to me. Everything that I see, I'm so used to and accustomed to. I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave all this behind. It seems a natural enough response. But you know, Jesus said, unless you hate father, mother, folks, we can't let anything hold us back. We can't allow anything here in this world to hold us back. Folks, there's nothing here that's worth missing heaven. There's nothing here that's worth being able to be accounted worthy to escape the judgment that is coming. Out of, it says, the Lord being merciful unto him. He didn't just turn around at the reluctance and say, "All right, I tried to get you." He laid hold of his hand. Aren't you thankful for the dealings of the Spirit? Aren't you glad whenever the Spirit's willing to come along and draw you? He's willing to come along and call after you today. You know, it's out of His mercy. Whenever we feel the conviction of the Lord on our hearts, folks, it's His mercy. It's His calling unto us. I want you to escape. I don't want you to be... I know what's coming. You don't understand. You don't realize fully what's coming on this city. But I want you to escape. I don't want you to get caught up in it. You know, it's a danger for every one of us.
That's right.
To get caught up in the affairs of the city. To get so caught up in our heart, go out so much. In our lives, in the city, in the world around us, don't let your heart go out to the world. Love not the things, the world, neither the things that are in the world. So he laid hands on him. The angel had a sense of urgency. And I believe today the Lord has a sense of urgency. I believe He feels a sense of urgency today. And I believe He wants us to feel it as well in our spirit. Lot said unto him, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy. Shall have showed unto me as saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." But he laid his hands on him and he started pulling him. He started calling after him. And we're familiar with the story. Whenever they had left, he told him, "Don't look back. You're not..." You know, the writer of Hebrews said, had they turned back, had they been mindful of the city from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to go back. If there's something within our hearts that's drawing us back, folks, cut the cord. Cut whatever it is that's drawing you back. There's an opportunity there to be drawn back into something that I can reason in my mind. Or I can allow the heartstrings, so to speak, call out to me and draw me back into something that'll be of danger to my soul. Believe the message and the burden of the Lord tonight is that we escape for our lives. 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. Number 16, we find the instance here whenever there were those Korah and Dathan and Abiram that rose up in rebellion against Moses. But yet it wasn't against Moses. It was against the Lord. And the Lord didn't tolerate it. The Lord wasn't going to put up with it. Wasn't going to tolerate it. And so He said unto Moses and Aaron, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces, and they began to cry out to the Lord. But the message to them was, separate yourselves. This isn't the time to mix company. This isn't the time to allow yourselves to be one of them. Because my judgment's about to fall on what just happened here. My judgment, but yet the Lord warned them. The Lord, as we see, I hope we realize through these examples over and over, the Lord gave warning before He gave sent judgment. The Lord gave the opportunity of escape before He sent the judgment. Separate yourselves. Do you know of Lot that we read about? Scripture says of Lot that he was a just man, and that the wickedness of the city vexed his righteous soul from day to day. You know, if we're living in the place that we should live, our souls will be vexed from day to day. 15th chapter of Psalms asks the question, who shall abide in thy holy hill? Who can abide in the place of the Lord's presence? And one of the things that is said was, one in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. You know, I can look at the wickedness and the sin of the world and think, I'll never participate in it myself. I'm never going to go into those kind of places and partake of those kind of things in my life. But it starts with the heart. It starts with something within the heart that begins drawing out after it. That begins calling and drawing us. And it can begin there with a little bit of desire, with a little bit of a draw within the heart. That I'm not going to participate, but I'll sure be entertained by it. I'll sure allow myself to look upon it and indulge myself in it from a little bit of a distance. But yet there's something there that I'm already in a dangerous zone. You know, the Scripture still teaches for us today, separate yourselves. Separate yourselves from the world. We don't understand that to mean go live in a commune somewhere, do we? The grace and the power of God is greater than that today. It's able to keep us from the wickedness of this world. But true religion is this, that you keep yourself unspotted from the world and visit the widows and the fatherless. You know, the Lord's coming back for a people that are unspotted. A people in His message and His call today to His people. Be separate. Don't allow yourself to, don't allow the things of sin to spot your heart, your life, your home. Don't allow yourself to be polluted by the things of the world. You know, it's a question for every one of us. Have I separated myself from the things that the judgment of God is going to fall upon? The Lord is calling for us to separate ourselves. He gave the warning that we are to flee youthful lust. Another place to flee fornication. It's what Joseph did. Joseph escaped. Joseph ran for his life. And you know, that's the thing that we're going to have to do. There are going to have to be times that I'm willing to leave the coat behind and say, I'm running for my life. I'm leaving behind whatever I've got to leave behind. I'm not going to allow myself to be caught up in this kind of thing. Folks, every one of us are going to have to make those decisions in our lives. Every one of us are going to have those things that try to lay hold upon me, that try to cling unto me, that try to pull me back. Folks, we're going to have to be willing, whatever the cost, whatever the price, I'm not going back, I'm not staying here, I'm not going to allow myself. Flee those kind of things. Run for your life. Save yourselves, the message of John the Baptist as he came preaching repentance. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That was the message that Peter preached. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. But John the Baptist, as he was going about preaching, he said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now is the day of salvation. Now is your opportunity as the gospel message is going forth. 2010, in Chile, a Thursday afternoon, August the 5th, 33 men were miles down in the shaft of a copper mine. Whenever there was a collapse of part of the mine and trapped 33 men miles down in the mine. Those that were on the upside of the collapse were able to get out, but they assumed because of the condition of the mine, all lives must surely be lost. But as they are accustomed and required to do, you go into search and rescue operation to try to see if there's any opportunity to rescue them. It was a long effort. Only way that they could find it to get in, they were afraid of further disturbing the structure of the mine if they tried to do much earthwork, and so they began to bore holes. The attention of the nation and the world was captured. The story of 33 men, fathers, brothers, caught miles down in the earth. You know, I shudder to think of being in a place like that. I know Brother Marty has been deep in the earth, but I shudder to think what it would be. Miles down, you hear the rumble, you see the dust cloud coming at you, and no doubt thinking, this is it. This is it. The odds are against me. So they begin to go into full rescue operation. The Chilean government became involved. Governments, nations around the world, companies around the world began to contribute resources and equipment. And they began to plot out a means of rescue. They began by drilling about a 6.5-inch bore down those couple miles or whatever it was, trying to penetrate the place that they thought that maybe they were trapped. They tried once, twice, over and over, and they weren't able to get anywhere. The days turned into weeks, but they kept trying. On the 8th try, whenever they drilled down into the place that they thought maybe this time, they drilled down, and when they pulled the drill back up, on the end of it was a note that was taped. And it said, all 33 are well in the place of refuge. You know, that spawned the hope of the whole world. They're still alive. That was, I don't remember what day that was on. The full operation was 69 days. That they were trapped down in the darkness. The few rations that they had, wondering, is there any way of escape? Will I ever see my family again? Am I ever going to be able to see and breathe fresh air again? And then they hear the drill. They hear it coming. They write on the note. They send it back up. And then all bars are taken off and said, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, we're going to rescue these men. So they began an extensive rescue operation with the help of NASA and others to try to figure out, how do we go all the way down? And they began boring a shaft, a hole big enough to send a capsule, the size that a man could stand inside the capsule, and began to send it down after them. Maybe you remember it. If not, you can imagine the jubilation and the excitement when the first man steps back up. Free. Rescued. They sent it back one after another and pulled them up one at a time. They were rescued. Their lives were able to continue. You know, we have a rescue operation. We have a rescue plan that's been put in place. It costs so much. It costs the shedding of Jesus' blood. But He paid the price so that I might be delivered. So that I could be set free. I have a song book. Thank you. And sang the song number 479. It says, I was building my home on a dry, shifting sand, casting my lot in a cold, barren land. You're doomed now for A, I heard Satan shout. But Jesus reached down and lifted me out. You know, in spite of what the devil said, in spite of how dark the picture was, how bleak and gloomy and wondering, is there ever any way of escape? Am I ever going to be able to get out of this pit that I'm in? You know, David's testimony was, I was down in the deep miry clay. But he came down and he reached down and he lifted me up and he set my feet on a solid rock. And he established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth. You know, the rescue operation is still working today. That capsule is still coming for everyone that'll say, yes, I want to go. Yes, I'm tired of it down here. I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the place that I'm living in. How foolish would it be? That last man that's trapped down there to say, nah, go ahead. I'm good. I kind of enjoy it down here. I kind of like it. You know, I've kind of grown accustomed to it down here. You know, if I get pulled back to the surface, I'm going to have to pay property taxes. And it gets hot up there. And I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Be foolish, wouldn't it? Yet how many people are doing it today? How many people, whenever Jesus is offering and extending, this is it. This is your opportunity. This is your time. You know, the capsule's not always going to be there. The window of opportunity, the window of deliverance. Today is the accepted day. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. To every one of us that'll believe the report, that'll say, Lord, I want out. Whatever it is that we may find ourselves enclosed by, entrapped by, ensnared by, folks, there's rescue. There is deliverance from it. Oh, thank the Lord for the delivering power of the blood. Thank the Lord that He's still able to spring the jaws of the trap. He's still able to reach down and rescue and deliver from whatever place that I might be ensnared, entrapped by, addicted unto, in public or in secret. The Lord's able to reach down and deliver to the uttermost, to reach down and deliver me from that place of bondage, that I can know once more the filling of freedom. Spoke about that Passover. Scripture says that Jesus is our Passover. The blood of the Lamb has been shed. He is the door. He is the one and only way of escape. People today in the world are trying to cope. They're trying to deal with the effects of sin. They're trying to cope with the after effects of it, the side effects of it. They're not able to get free. Not able to know the feeling of deliverance. You know, we can have a profession of salvation and be as bound as can be. The Pharisees were in a place that they said, what are you talking about free? You'll know the truth and it'll make you free. We've never been in bondage. Don't you know who we are? I've never been in bondage. I never go into sin. I never... But yet they were bound and never realized it. The Lord's able to save the religious.
That's right.
To those that'll say, Lord, I need rescued. Lord, I need deliverance. I'm in a place that I can't get out of myself. Would you have mercy and deliver? Whenever that time of judgment comes, and folks, it's coming. Just as the warnings went out of Mount St. Helens, something's coming. Something's happening. It's not just something. We're told enough and given enough instruction in the Word of God to know what it is. To know what's coming upon this world. And surely the wickedness of this world is hastening that day. I'd like to close in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the second chapter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? How are you going to escape? How will I escape if I neglect or count lightly the only way of escape, the only door of salvation? If I disregard it, turn my back on it, say no thank you, maybe a later time, what's your alternative? There's no other way of escape. There's no other means, no other name given under heaven whereby men will be saved but by the name of Jesus. So tonight, if we need a way of escape, as every one of us do, if you've not taken it, don't turn it aside. Don't turn aside the opportunity when the Lord calls. Whenever the Lord says, I've got a better place for you. You don't have to live down in the darkness. You don't have to live down there entrapped by your lust and your greed and your hatred and your bitterness and all the things that you're ensnared and entrapped by. I can reach down. I can break the bands. And how many excuses are there? Oh, but you don't understand this situation. You don't know the place that I've gotten myself into. Just try the Lord. Just try the Lord. He's got the resources to be able to go through whatever rock, whatever barriers might be holding us in. Be able to reach down through it all where I am and lift me up and deliver me. There is tonight, still today, a way of escape. The warning's still going forth to every one of us. Make sure you've taken the way of escape. Let's stand and have a song. You pray for me. Amen.